What's up, y'all? Welcome back to the Sports Medicine Broadcast. We're broadcasting live at the Memorial Hermann Sports Medicine Update. We're trying to do more this year, so there's some technical issues as some of the recordings weren't going exactly as planned. Just didn't click the right button, but that happens when you're trying to be in two places at one time. But there's lots of great content. Possibly a better way to view all these, to get all this, is to view the YouTube on the sportsmedicinebroadcast.com. It has the links to the YouTube pages. So that's a better way to check that out, because the audio is pretty consistent throughout that. And then also you can see the video there. But definitely check those out. The information about the show notes, the slide notes, presentation notes, those are in there as well on the podcast information. So hopefully you get to learn a little bit. You get to learn a little bit from all this. If you know Bob Marley, thank him. If you don't, I can tell you how to get to know him. Great guy. He is the one that allows us to do all this. So I want to continue to thank Bob Marley. And also our promo code for starting in August, we're going to start releasing the promo code or the sweepstakes entry code for School Health, for our partnership with School Health. We're releasing that here in just a minute, so be ready to write that down. That way you have that. All right, so like I said, I'm going to have that promo code here. You guys ready? Since it is July right now when I'm recording these, and we just celebrated my son's birthday, the promo code for the first set of sweepstakes will be Samuel. Samuel. So that's his name. That's going to be the promo code. The promo code for the second month, which will be September. So August will be Samuel. September will be Jonah, J-O-N-A-H. And that's the name of my firstborn son, and his birthday is also in July. So since I'm recording these, I'm going to go ahead and use their names as the promo code. So Samuel is the one for August. And then for September, we're going to use Jonah. So when you fill out those forms on School Health for the Sports Medicine Broadcast, and you'll want to use those codes.
Okay, so Scott Jurek, an elite ultramarathoner, Prince Fuel, their first baseman for now, the Rangers, and previously Detroit Tigers, and the Milwaukee Brewers, obviously the power hitter, Carl Lewis, 10-time Olympic medalist, and Tony Gonzalez, 14-time Pro Bowler. All have something in common. Every one of them is either a vegetarian or vegan athlete. Interestingly enough, they all play very different sports. They all have different backgrounds, different reasonings for it, for choosing a vegetarian lifestyle. But as you can see, these are all elite athletes in their own right, and they're able to do so on a vegetarian or vegan diet. So what we're going to talk about today, to start off with the types of vegetarian diets and the reasons behind them, we're going to talk about macronutrient needs, as well as some of the vitamin and mineral concerns for a vegetarian. So, we have all sorts of different vegetarian diets. We have vegetarian, lacto-roman vegetarian, normal vegetarian, macro-vegetarian, semi-vegetarian, raw food vegan, vegan, and all sorts of other types of vegetarians that I have no idea about. Anytime you have an athlete who is a vegetarian, the first thing I want you to ask them is what kind of vegetarian you are, and what is it that you are avoiding, or what is it that you are willing to take in. Because I cannot tell you how many times I've had someone tell me they are a vegetarian, and then you start to fish around and you realize that, okay, well, they do drink milk, they do have eggs, and they have fish on occasion. There's all sorts of different reasons behind it. They have different reasons for different types of things that they want to avoid. You can't help them or be aware of what their potential risks are if you don't know what it is that they are or are not willing to take in. So don't take them at just, I'm a vegetarian. Ask more details. What is it that you will eat? What is it that you will not eat? The other thing we need to know is we need to know why is it that they're avoiding certain food. So is it religious? Is it cultural? Is it ethical? Is it social? Is there just taste preferences? I've had times where people have said, I'm a vegetarian. And then they'll, have on their food log that they went to Burger King or something like that. Okay, and then I asked him about, well, what did you get there? Well, I got a chicken sandwich. Okay, well, how did you get a chicken sandwich if you're a vegetarian? Well, it's not that I'm a vegetarian, it's just I don't like touching the wrong meat, is my thing. or I don't do dairy, but I do cheese and yogurt. Well, that is dairy, but we need to ask more questions, find out what it is. Also, sometimes it's important to know why it is that they're avoiding certain foods, because sometimes that is a sign of an eating disorder. When your athlete talks about clean eating and they're avoiding certain things because it's detrimental to them for some reason, and they start to point out all the foods that are negative for them, you may start to see signs of, okay, this isn't vegetarian because of a particular reason. This is vegetarian because I'm very fearful of certain foods, and that may be more of a concern. We know that vegetarians can compete. There's been all sorts of different studies. These are three potential studies that you can look at. Classic studies showing vegetarians versus non-vegetarians, adults who have changed to a vegetarian diet, to see in the short term, is there any effect? There is no realistic or negative detrimental effect. There is no positive effect when it comes to athletic performance. So if your athlete wants to become a vegetarian, as long as they are doing so in a normal, healthy way, they should be fine. Okay, macronutrients. Macronutrients meaning protein, carbohydrates, and fat, the foods that provide calories. Okay, calories. Calories are obviously an important part. We need them for energy, we need them for performance. Your vegetarian athletes should have no real issue in meeting their calorie needs as long as they're eating appropriately. They can get plenty enough calories on a vegetarian diet. If you're concerned that maybe they're not getting enough calories, that they're missing out, look for the obvious signs. Are they losing weight? Are they starting to notice more fatigue, weakness? Okay. Are there more injuries or illnesses? Ask them what's going on and see if it's potentially possible if they're missing out on getting enough calories. If your athlete is complaining that I'm losing weight and I know I'm not getting enough calories, but I'm constantly feeling full, one of the first things I'll see with vegetarians is oftentimes they are loading up too much on non-starchy vegetables. I know it seems odd to tell them to back down off of that and reduce their intake of veggies, but veggies are very low in calories and they are very bulky. They start to add up into a large amount of volume and they start to feeling very full over time. So if your athletes are complaining of feeling too full and yet they're not getting enough calories, start to sub out some of the non-starchy vegetables and start to put in some of the other sources potentially. Carbohydrates should be easy enough to eat and meet their needs for vegetarians. Beans, lentils, fruits, grains, veggies, these are all good sources of carbohydrates. A vegetarian athlete should easily be able to meet their needs, so I'm not too overly concerned about this. If you have a vegetarian athlete who is vegetarian and on a low-carb diet, that's where you start to ask questions because that's concerning. Okay. Fat intake should also be pretty reasonable for a vegetarian athlete to meet. Fat is going to come from a variety of sources, many of which are vegetarian friendly. So nuts, seeds, legumes, we will get it from things such as dairy in some cases if they're comfortable with that. If they're comfortable with eggs, that's a source. Additionally, we'll get it from things like oils and avocados. So it should be simple enough. The one concern I may have for a vegetarian athlete, because they're missing out on fatty fish, there is the potential that they may be missing out on omega-3. So in that case, look for them to take in things like walnuts, canola oil, walnut oil, hemp, flaxseed oil. These are good sources of omega-3 as well. If you're still concerned about it, an omega-3 supplement is fine for them to take. Okay, so we know calories, carbohydrates, and fat should be easy enough for a vegetarian athlete to meet. Protein is where it starts to get a little bit more difficult, but still reasonable. Okay, so we know that protein is very important for growth and repair of muscle tissue as well as recovery. We know that we can get protein from a variety of sources. I break them down into two groups, complete protein sources and incomplete protein sources. Complete protein sources are those that are going to contain all the essential amino acids, including the key amino acid that's called leucine. Incomplete proteins are going to be those that are incomplete. They do not contain all the essential amino acids. Okay, why this is important? Well, if you'll notice, all of the options that are complete proteins are animal-based products other than soy. So for a vegetarian or vegan athlete, they potentially could be obviously missing out on fish and meat, but also potentially dairy and eggs. And for some, they may not even want to eat soy. So if that's the case, then now they're not taking any complete proteins. Complete proteins are important because when we want to build muscle or we want to stimulate muscle protein synthesis, we need all the essential amino acids, especially leucine. So if we're taking in foods that do not contain all those essential amino acids, we're going to have a much more difficult time to do this. And that's not to say that incomplete proteins aren't good. They're just not quite as good. If I take 20 grams of protein from meat versus 20 grams of protein from bread, they do not have the same impact. It will not stimulate the same kind of growth. So there is a difference in quality. For those of you who are interested, I usually do this. We determine protein needs for an athlete. So what you would do is you would take that athlete's weight, divide it by 2.2, okay, and that would convert their weight into kilograms. Okay, so from there, once you have the athlete, so we'll say as an example, you have a 110-pound cross-country athlete who is a vegetarian. Okay, he would divide their weight by 2.2, that converts to kilograms. Okay, then you multiply it by reference ranges. So in this case, we know that an endurance athlete needs about 1.2 to 1.4 grams per kilogram, and a resistance-trained athlete needs about 1.6 to 1.8. So if we have a cross-country runner that falls under the endurance category, so we divide their weight by 2.2, we determine that they're 50 kilograms, we multiply that by 1.2 and 1.4, and that tells us that they need approximately 60 to 70 grams of protein per day. Okay, my I think I may have messed up in your slides, I may have put 120 pounds, it should be 110. Protein spacing. Regardless of how much protein they're taking in, they should be spacing their protein out evenly throughout the day. We know that you can take in too much protein at a time. It will not harm someone to take too much protein at one meal, but they won't wind up getting as much benefit from it. We can only utilize so much protein at a given time. Have them space their protein evenly throughout the day. For most athletes, this means taking in about 15 to 30 grams of protein for each meal. Now, one thing I will catch on with a lot of vegetarians is they often forget about protein. So breakfast comes, lunch rolls around, they have maybe cereal for breakfast, a salad for lunch with some pasta, they forgot to have their snack, and then dinner rolls around and they realize, I haven't had any protein today. So now I'm gonna have milk, I'm gonna have eggs, I'm gonna have a little bit of soy and stir fry, and I'm gonna load up on protein here to make up for this whole day. And it doesn't work like that. We can't do it that way. We have to really take it in small doses. So have them aim to take in protein with each meal, not just one particular meal. So some of the challenges related to vegetarians and vegans for protein. One is the quality of the protein. So as I mentioned earlier, the vegetarian-based sources are primarily, other than soy, incomplete protein. So they do not stimulate muscle protein synthesis to the same extent. They do not contain leucine to the same extent as complete protein. So we are worried about the quality. For vegetarians, you really want to find out what is it that they're willing to take in. Are they willing to take in dairy? Are they willing to take in cheese or yogurt? You need to find out which sources of those complete proteins that they can or are willing to take in. So the complete protein or the quality of the protein is one major concern that I have for a vegetarian. And same thing with the quantity. What you'll see in a little bit is that a lot of the vegetarian-based proteins are in much smaller amounts. So now we have to have much more of them. If I can have a tiny little 3-ounce chicken breast and that contains 20 grams of protein, it's a lot harder to get 20 grams of protein from the salad. It's going to take days worth of salad to get to that amount. It takes so much. So it is very difficult to meet the quantity of protein for some vegetarians. Additionally, because of the quality that I just mentioned earlier, some of the recommendations for a vegetarian athlete is that they should actually take in 10% more protein than the recommended amount to make up for that lack of quality protein. So now instead of needing 60 to 70 grams of protein for that one example I just showed, now they actually need closer to 66 to 77 grams of protein. Okay, that may seem like a trivial amount for that weight, but if you have a 150-pound athlete, now it's much more significant. 200-pound athlete, even more significant. So we need to be aware of it. So some of the solutions, identify which foods they're comfortable with. If they're comfortable with dairy, if they're comfortable with eggs, are they comfortable with soy? You know, use those, make sure that we're choosing those high quality proteins and incorporating them with each meal. Have them explore some of the different options that are available out there. So don't have them just eating one thing. You know, if they don't want dairy or eggs, that's fine, but they should be willing to try beans. They should be willing to try soy-based products. And then make sure that we're spacing that protein out evenly throughout the day. And if they are a vegetarian or a vegan, try to make sure that they're getting about 10% more than what the actual recommendations are per day. If we can, what I would suggest is trying to incorporate one of those quality proteins, whether it's cheese, dairy, milk, yogurt, eggs, soy, into each of those meals if possible. These are just some vegetarian protein sources that I'll let you look at. But you'll notice that many of them are the plant-based proteins aside from soy, pretty low in protein overall. So it can be difficult to meet. But I'll let you all review that list on your own. So iron is the next one. So we're moving on into the micronutrient ranges. So for iron, iron's obviously very important for oxygen transport for an athlete. It comes in a couple different forms. We get it in heme iron and non-heme iron, which I'll go into a little bit more in a second. But some of the risk factors for iron deficiency are things such as a vegetarian diet, such as someone who is an endurance athlete and is having a great deal of stress with GI bleeding or foot strike chemolysis. Okay, some of the female athletes that are having heavy menstrual losses, these are all risk factors for potential iron deficiency. Males and females have different needs for iron. So a male is going to need 8 milligrams per day, whereas a female that's 14 and up is going to need about 15 milligrams, and a female that's 18 and up will need as much as 18 milligrams a day. So there is a difference between your groups or your populations. Heme and non-heme iron. Heme iron is that's found in animal-based products, so in meat, in fish. Heme iron will be found in a similar quantity to non-heme iron, but the problem is that, or the interesting thing about it is that heme iron is much more readily absorbed. We can absorb it in a much higher percentage. So we absorb about 15 to 35% of the iron coming from heme iron sources. But if your vegetarian athlete will not eat meat and will not eat fish, then they no longer can get that easily absorbed form of iron. Non-heme iron is going to be found in plant-based items: eggs, legumes, beans. We find it in grains and iron-fortified foods, but it's not quite readily absorbed. So now instead of 15 to 35%, now we're absorbing closer to 2 to 20%. And it's also affected significantly by inhibitors and enhancers. Okay, what I mean by inhibitors and enhancers is that some foods can actually compete and hinder the absorption of iron. So if we consume a meal that is high in something like phytate, or that has lots of calcium, or that includes tea or coffee, that actually inhibits the absorption. So now we get much less iron from that meal. Okay, so we have to watch out for that. Phytates are found in many of the vegetarian-based foods that contain iron. So that's why these foods have variable amounts of absorption rates. Consuming enhancers of iron absorption will help with absorption. So if we consume foods that are high in vitamin C, that will actually increase our absorption of iron. So that should be something that an athlete should be aiming for. Consume vitamin C containing foods to go along with that. Interestingly enough, there actually is no significant difference between a vegetarian and a non-vegetarian athlete when it comes to iron deficiency anemia. So we do not see any distinct differences in the population. However, we do see lower iron levels in vegetarian athletes commonly. And we know that lower iron levels actually does hamper performance. So while they may not be anemic, they could potentially be performing at a lower level. We've done a number of different studies that have shown that you can take in an iron supplement when someone who is low on iron, and that will enhance performance. So we know that low iron levels will hinder performance, so we need to be watching out for that. Even though they may not be anemic, it could still perhaps hurt. At low iron levels, you may see things like confusion, apathy, poor performance in school. Whereas with anemia, we may see extreme fatigue, shortness of breath, brittle nails, and wheat dish. So for vegetarian Iron Age, we talked about the original Iron Age just a second ago, but now the recommendation is actually that vegetarians take in 1.8 times the RDA. So now your vegetarian female athlete no longer needing 14 to 18 milligrams or 15 to 18 milligrams of iron. Now they need closer to 27 to 32 milligrams of iron because the form that they're taking in is much less absorbed. So, solutions for low iron. If you know someone's anemic or you know they have iron levels, low iron levels, then they should be supplementing. And they should be supplementing under physician guidance. We should be monitoring their labs to make sure that they're not overdoing it, because they can, in fact, overdo it. I too often see coaches for cross-country teams making blanket recommendations for their entire team to take iron, whether it's a 14-year-old vegetarian female or an 18-year-old, you know, meat-eating male. Not everyone needs to be supplementing with iron. You can't overdo it. So we need to watch out for that. If someone's going to supplement, it should be under physician, a careful eye on the physician. Okay. If you're just concerned that, hey, maybe it could be low, we don't know for sure, we think perhaps they're not getting enough iron in their diet, or they're switching to a vegetarian diet, that's okay. Look to incorporate sources that are higher in iron. And then look to make sure that we're incorporating high vitamin C foods to go along with that to enhance absorption while avoiding some of the foods like dairy or tea or toffee that are going to inhibit absorption. So that's not to say that they can't have dairy, but if they feel like potentially they could be low on iron and they're having a high iron meal, go ahead and separate that milk out for later on. Have it an hour later. Don't have it with the meal. So these are some potential examples of vegetarian sources of iron and high vitamin C foods. Okay, so these are good pairings to combine. And these are some potential examples of things that you can do. So a trail mix with iron fortified grains, with pumpkin seeds, dried fruit. Okay, doing an iron fortified oatmeal with a dried apricot, which is high in iron and vitamin C. Drinking glass of orange juice to go with it to enhance the absorption of your vitamin C. Having a salad, having a bell pepper on that salad, which is extremely high in vitamin C, will help enhance absorption. So think about combining high iron grains, high iron vegetables, and doing that with a vitamin C source. Okay, calcium and vitamin D, we don't see too much deficiency in vegetarians, especially those who are lacto-vegetarians, but vegans are a little bit more of concern. Many of the vegetarian sources, or the veggie sources of calcium, have oxalates in them, or have phytates in them, which may decrease absorption, and so that can be cause for concern. Additionally, if vitamin D is a little bit lower, then that can be a concern when it comes to calcium levels. So these are some non-dairy calcium sources. So things like broccoli, kale, Chinese cabbage, greens, calcium. Those are all highly absorbed vegetarian sources of calcium that they can be incorporated. Legumes, nuts, and seeds are also good sources when it comes to high absorption rates. Okay. Calcium can be absorbed in smaller or higher amounts day to day, or depending on what you're consuming. So making sure that we're consuming these higher sources or higher absorbed sources is going to be beneficial. If we know or we think there's the potential that they could be vitamin D deficient, that should be something we address. When you have someone who's already taking in lower amounts of calcium, and then you combine that with low vitamin D status, we're going to see poor absorption of calcium overall and the increased chance of lower bone mineral density. So athletes who are at risk for vitamin D deficiency are going to be those who have darker skin pigmentation, okay, those who primarily train indoors, those who live in northern latitudes or during winter months, okay, since we don't have direct sunlight. And so if we're low in vitamin D and we're already taking in a low amount of calcium, that can be problematic. So make sure that they're taking in some food sources such as mushrooms, fatty fish, eggs, vitamin D fortified things like dairy or juice. And if need be, then we should be doing some sort of vitamin D supplement, such as 1,000 to 2,000 international units a day. Okay. Keep in mind that for a vegetarian or a vegan athlete, that vitamin D2 is going to be what they have to supplement it with, because vitamin D3 is actually animal-based. And the negative with that is vitamin D3 is the recommended form, the better form of supplementation for vitamin D. Okay, vitamin B12, not really a concern for vegetarians that take in dairy or eggs, but for vegans, they are at risk for low B12. A B12 is very helpful for energy production. We know that if we're deficient, they can lead to macrocytic anemia, and they can lead to poor performance. So we need to be taking in some sort of B12 fortified food as a vegan or a supplement as a vegan. And these are some potential sources of vitamin B12. So things like Red Star nutritional yeast, fortified soy milk, fortified breakfast cereals, or fortified meat analogs. If we consume these, we should be fine. But if they're not going to utilize these sources, then they're going to have a much more difficult time getting their vitamin B12. And in that case, the supplement will be fine. Okay, lastly, iodine is another one. Iodine deficiency somewhat depends upon the soil levels of iodine in the area. And so for vegetarian athletes, because animal-based products will typically have plenty of iodine deficiency for the vast majority of the population here is easily met. We don't have an issue with it. However, for vegans, there is that potential risk that if the soil that in their particular area is lower in iodine, if some of the veggies that they're consuming are lower in iodine, they may be at risk. So in that case, an easy, simple solution is to utilize a little bit of iodine or iodine salt with each of their day, in each day of their cooking, so about half a teaspoon or so. So it's not a really big amount, but just to incorporate that in their day will help make sure that they are getting enough iodine. Okay, so summary. Really ask yourself, ask the vegetarian, what is it that they are or are not willing to consume? What is it that, or what is the reason behind their decision? Make sure that you know what type of vegetarian it is. Make sure that they are taking in adequate protein sources, that they're using high quality protein sources or complete proteins whenever possible. Make sure that they're spacing them out throughout the day. Make sure that they're taking in enough iron each day, as well as vitamin C containing foods to go with it, enhance absorption. And for vegans, we should be looking out for things like B12, potentially calcium, and also iodine as well. Okay, that's my contact information, my email, our website, and then our Twitter handle, or my Twitter handle. So, questions? Huh? Paleo diet. If they're on a paleo diet, then they've really got to push themselves to make sure that they're incorporating plenty of fruits. I believe beans are okay on paleo. Okay. So starchy vegetables, if at all possible. So potatoes, if you potatoes. I'm not a big fan of paleo, to be honest, for an athlete. If you're going to do a paleo diet, I would say having a modified paleo diet, which somewhat defeats the purpose. But I do find having a lot of athletes that follow paleo diet typically follow a modified paleo diet because there's some weaknesses related to that. They really got to make sure that they're getting plenty of fruits to get an ample carbohydrates as an athlete, especially if it's a high score quality. Yes? Just a food log? MyFitnessPal is one that a lot of people will use. It's very detailed, but once you get into the habit of using it, it becomes pretty simple. You can scan barcodes, Lose It, MyFatSeeker, those are three that a lot of my clients will use. MyFitnessPal, Lose It, and MyFatSeeker. Those are three apps that are free, websites that are free that you can document and take on, as well as you can scan barcode and look at tracking portion in the box that's taken. Other questions? Hemochromatosis. We can get to the point where we have hemochromatosis when we are iron, when we're taking in too much iron. Hemochromatosis, I am blanking out on right now. It's not good. I'm looking for assistance.